we continue to, tomorrow is the last day of Christmas officially, so I hope that you are all continuing and are having a Merry Christmas. As we continue to kind of reflect upon what happened just a few weeks ago, that God became man, he was born. And what I love about the Christmas season is that we're kind of invited to reflect upon what Jesus' birth means, looking through different eyes. And which makes sense, because the impact of what happens on Christmas is so intense that we need different perspectives to even catch a small understanding of what happened. And so on Christmas Day, we kind of look at it through the lens of general humanity. What does it mean that God himself would become a human person? What does that mean for us? And then in that, we're kind of bring it to the subjective level and think, what does that mean for me? That Jesus became man, that I can relate to God on a human level. And then as we go through the celebrations, we celebrate the Feast of the Holy Family, which kind of invites us to look at the birth of Christ through the lens of family life. If Jesus became a man and God lived in a family, what does that mean for my family? How should I reflect that? Then we celebrate the solemnity of Mary, Mother of God, which kind of invites us to look through the birth of Jesus through the eyes of a mother. What can we learn about God becoming man if we see it through the eyes of a mother? And today we're kind of invited, and not necessarily going to go into this, that's the problem of not using notes, it's easy to go on tangents, but we look at it through the eyes of kings, of like worldly power. What does it mean for God to become man for earthly power? And we see two examples of this in our gospel, where King Herod is threatened by the King of Kings, Jesus. And we see, we'll hear later on, that he actually wants to kill Jesus, and so they have to flee. And so we see this one response from earthly power that's threatened by Christ. Kind of makes sense in our culture today, being threatened by Christ. And we have these three magi who demonstrate a different perspective, one of intense humility, that they realize that here is the King of Kings, the King of all earthly power. And so they humbly come before him and offer him gifts. And yet the three kings today, I think, have a beautiful reflection for us, which kind of goes back to the start of Advent. Because in Advent, and as we lead up to Christmas, we kind of are asked, invited to think about and reflect upon this question of who are we expecting? Who is Jesus? It's great with our board out there. We got some beautiful answers. So we've been kind of reflecting upon it as we go. Because the Jews also kind of had this question on their minds. Who were they expecting the Messiah to be? And so we hear some were expecting the Messiah to be a great prophet, like Elijah or John the Baptist. We hear that. Jesus says, "Who do people say that I am?" And they say, some say Elijah, some say John the Baptist. And so there's this expectation that Jesus is going to be this great and powerful prophet. But there's also others who thought that Jesus was going to kind of be like King David and be this like mighty Lord and ruler to kind of bring about this great influx of like political and earthly power and like lead them to victory over their enemies. And so they were expecting Jesus to be like that. And if we're honest with ourselves, we too do this. We have this expectation of who Jesus is for us. So he might be like a King David for us, where we're expecting him to kind of lead us into battle against the culture. And at the end of the day, we're going to stand atop the world and say, we have won. Like we now the Roman Empire is back, Holy Roman Empire is back. Like we like have like control of the world. And so we can kind of look to Christ in that way. We can look to him and expect him to come to us as a healer or comforter, that maybe we have an illness or we're suffering or we've experienced a loss in our life, and we're looking for Jesus to kind of take that away, to deliver us from that. And so we too can kind of have these expectations of who Jesus is going to be. And yet the three kings kind of give us a lesson on what it means to be expecting God to do something. Because we hear about these three kings who follow this star of Bethlehem. And they're following this star, and it leads them to this land of Israel. And I like to think almost that, I don't think that the Star of Bethlehem didn't just like go away. I like to think that when they got to Israel, they're kind of like, oh, okay, we get it now. We know what to expect. We have to go to the capital. Because of course, Jesus, the new king, is going to be born in a capital. Where else would he be born? We don't need to follow this light anymore. We can kind of take it from here. And because of that, they also think, well, of course, he has to be not only in the capital, but in the palace. That's where kings are. That's where kings are born. And so they go to the palace, and they say, where is the king of the Jews? Here we are. And King Herod is like, what are you talking about? I'm the king. And so often, though, doesn't that happen in our own life, that sometimes we look for Jesus, and we expect to find him somewhere, and he's not there. We're like, where is Jesus? It's like, I don't know. And we look for him and expect him in a certain place and we don't find him there. And that kind of sense of like disquietness, that sense of loss of like, where's Jesus? He's not where I expected to find him. And so the Magi kind of have to relearn and go back to what led them to that place, the Star of Bethlehem, and they have to follow this light, and it leads them to this very unexpected place. It leads them to this cave, this stable, where Jesus is born. And he's not in a palace surrounded by lords and rulers and warriors. He's in a stable surrounded by animals and shepherds, by a humble virgin as his mother and a humble carpenter. And so the star leads them to a place to encounter Jesus that they would never have looked for. It's this place that wouldn't even cross their mind to find him, and yet that is exactly where Jesus wanted to encounter them. Because God, being God, knows what's best. And isn't it true that, you know, the palace, yes, like we could think of this like beautiful palace, beautiful place that Jesus could be born, and yet didn't God show us something that is far more beautiful than we could even imagine? I mean, this image of the Nativity is so peaceful, joyful, inspiring, hopeful. It's far more beautiful than any palace could be. And so God kind of subverts our expectations and gives us something, a beauty that we didn't even know could be there, in a place that we weren't even expecting, in a place we wouldn't even look. And that's what we see this also, that God loves to do this. Here at Mass, when he comes to us, he doesn't come to us in all his glory as we might expect, or there just aren't these great visions that appear to us. He comes to us unexpectedly in a tiny piece of bread. And yet, what is more beautiful than the Eucharist? That we literally get to receive our Lord and have him abide in our hearts. We would never even expect to find him there. And that's what Christ loves to do. He loves to find us in a place that, and show us and open our hearts to a place that we weren't expecting to find him, and there he is. Because I think sometimes we can fall in the trap of like, we're looking so hard for Christ, we want to find him so much, that we look for him in these places where we expect to find him. And so often he's like, I have something so much more beautiful and greater for you. I want to encounter you in a place that you would never think would be possible. And so as we continue through this kind of, we finish up Christmas, I think sometimes we're not so much always looking for Christ, because sometimes we look for him in these expected places. Instead, we're looking for that Star of Bethlehem, that light, that's going to lead us to find Christ in the unexpected places of our lives, in the places that we would never think to look for him in. And maybe that's finding him in the very suffering that we're experiencing. Maybe it's finding him in the loss of a loved one. And maybe it's finding him in the place that when we feel like we can't find him at all and we're feeling so distant from him. And so as we come to the end of this Christmas season, let us be like these three kings who maybe stumbled along the way, and sometimes, as we do, try to take things in our own hands and say, oh, I get it now. I know where to find you, Lord. I can go where I'm expecting you. And yet we're reminded by the three kings that that is not what our Lord likes to do. He loves to encounter us and find and encounter us in a place that's unexpected and yet far more beautiful than we could ever hope, even imagine, to meet him. And so let us look for that star of Bethlehem as we close out Christmas, which will lead us to that unexpected place, that place where the Christ child is.